Welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I'm your host, Webby. Joining me tonight, we have Devin.
Hey, everybody. What's going on?
So, I just want to apologize if you guys get an extra dose of grunting and groaning from me. I'm kind of nursing some sort of injury. I don't even really know exactly how this happened, but I hurt the muscles in my neck and shoulder, and it was bad enough where I actually went to the doctor, which as soon as I texted Devin that, he knew it was serious. That's like the bar to know if it's really that serious, as if I drag myself to go see a doctor over it, because I hate doctors. But so Devin, this week we're going to be talking a little bit about Dead Silence. Mm-hmm. Which is a horror movie that was chosen by, I believe it was Rob's choice, Rob Edquist.
I believe that is correct.
So right out the gate, I think it was better than Life After Beth. I have a feeling like all of these movies are going to be better than that. Mine was a shit choice, and I'm not going to live it down. I'm not going to let myself live it down. This movie was interesting to me.
Real quick about Life After Beth, though. I think I'd like to go on record and thank everyone involved in Life After Beth, because you've now given me a new life in movies where I can watch something and go, well, it's better than Life After Beth.
Yeah. So, that's, you've lowered the bar for all other movies. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, okay, so I know you in particular liked this movie, but that, what was it, Terrifier or whatever we did last year, the clown one? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go on record and say I think I liked Life After Beth more than that movie just because of the people in it. The Terrifier movie had really no one of note. It had the one hot chick.
But, I mean, it was more of a horror movie.
Yeah, it definitely was.
And it was a grindhouse horror movie, and I get that.
Now, this movie, Dead Silence, horror movie. Now, I will say, again, it was interesting. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it, but I felt like it was kind of predictable. There were a couple jump scare moments where I was just like, all right, that's enough of that. mainly when we finally get to see Mary Shaw and whatnot. But so essentially this movie starts off with this guy and his wife, and she orders takeout and he goes and gets it. But before that happens, a box is delivered at their apartment, and inside the box is a ventriloquist dummy. No one knows who dropped it off or why it was sent to them. So his wife starts playing around with it and, you know, making it talk and whatnot. And then when her husband's out getting the Chinese food from, the only words I could sell off that sign were "kaka." I was like, well, that's a shit Chinese store. Even though I think that means something else, like receipt or check or something like that in Chinese. Just K-A. Mm-hmm. But she was setting up the doll on the bed to give her husband a scare. And an interesting thing happened where all of the noises in the house stopped. And it was dead silent. And we end up seeing this woman get murdered by the doll. And then the husband comes back, finds the wife murdered, and ends up, you know, going through the motions of, you know, the police are interrogating him and questioning him, and because he's the essentially the prime suspect as of right now. And he, you know, no one believes him because he's not even sure how his wife died. And then they go back to his small town, which I don't even, did they even say what this town's name was?
Yeah, they did. What was it called? Is it Raven? They definitely showed the sign of it. I can't
remember. Yeah.
Ravens Fair.
Okay. And so they bring, you know, the guy drives down there to essentially bring his wife back there to be buried. And then we see that the wife, not only was she murdered, but her tongue was ripped out and her face was like distorted, I guess is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And then essentially just kind of general creepiness starts happening. And it's pretty short into the movie where the guy who, what's his name in the movie? Jamie Ashen. Who's the husband, starts like thinking that maybe, like, I don't think he knew it was the doll or had anything to do with the doll until he went back to Mary Shaw's grave, because he found out that this doll belonged to her. Went back to her grave, saw that all of her other dolls were buried with her in their own separate graves. So he found the one that said Billy, because the doll's name was Billy. Dug it up. It was empty. So he shoved it in the grave and buried it again. And then he went back to his car, and that's when he saw the doll again.
Yes.
So right then, he knew something was up, obviously.
Well, he knew it was kind of a doll before then, because he was kind of telling the police, because the police brought him in and thought he killed his wife.
Well, he never came out and said, like...
He did. He was just like...
the doll.
He was like...
He thought, you know, maybe just whoever dropped the doll off.
Well, no, but he had to have said something because... the cop, when he was in there, basically was like, so you're going to stick with your story about a ghost killing your wife? Or, you know, or a doll... being, you know, a doll being involved in the killing of your wife.
Right.
And, you know, yeah. I mean...
So what happened next? I love the fact that this guy, when he's in his car and it's running, and there's things moving around outside his car, he gets out to look. Like, that's like the first horror movie no-no. Like, no, you just put it in drive and you drive away.
Well, I mean, you know, he did what he had to do.
Well,
rewinding back a little bit, he goes, after the cops don't believe him about the doll, he goes back to his house. He starts looking at the box it came in. He rips open the lining and sees that it belongs, this was Mary Shaw and Billy.
Yeah.
Or I think that doll's name was. This was Mary Shaw and Billy. So this was Mary Shaw's doll. Seeing that, he kind of knew that was in Raven's Fair. So he drives back home, talks to his dad and his new stepmom, which he just met.
Yep.
About, you know,
his age.
Legends. Yeah. Like the legends of like what's going on in the town. Cause you know, things like that.
Right.
And his dad's kind of writing him off.
There is a, I guess, a folk tale in this town, an urban legend, and it comes with a poem or a little rhyme. Let's see. Now, apparently, from what I was reading, there's two different versions of this rhyme. There's the one that's in the movie, and then there's the one that's in the trailer. I actually like the one that's in the trailer better, but it worked. So, the poem of Mary Shaw in the movie goes, "Beware the stare of Mary Shaw. She had no children, only dolls. And if you see her in your dreams, be sure you never, ever scream." Now, the trailer one, which we find out a little later on, kind of more on the nose, is, "Beware the stare of Mary Shaw. She had no children, only dolls. And if you see her, do not scream. She'll rip your tongue out at the seam." That's what they played in the trailer.
Yep.
Because these murders, they are ripping their tongues out. Essentially.
And then she also, when she rips your tongue out, she adds your tongue to her tongue. So he has this really long, creepy tongue.
Right. Now, oh, is that why it's long? Is that what's happening there? I know she steals their voice.
Like, I don't know what version you watch, like, because there's actually an unrated version that has, like it shows her tongue longer.
Oh, okay. And, her tongue got some pretty gnarly long, like...
Yeah, like, when she sends it out, like, her tongue is, like, layered with other people's tongues and, like, tongues of other tongues off her tongue. That's... And she can, like,
switch voices.
She
can
switch voices back and forth and throw her voice and all that stuff with using those tongues.
That's some Zimitzi stuff right there. All right, so why don't you bring us through a little bit more of this movie?
Let's see. Let me look and see. So while he's still talking to his dad, he gets in a fight with his dad. His dad, you know, basically he leaves, stays at a motel. I think it's a motel. He dreams of what's her name. Of Mary Shaw. He turns the light on and the doll's just kind of staring at him.
Is that the one where she was looking through like the curtain?
Yeah, that was the one where she was sitting in the chair looking at him and then
creeped me out.
Yep. So that happens. Then that's when he drives to the cemetery. After that, as he drives to the cemetery, he throws the doll in there. He buries it. He finds it empty. He buries the doll in there. And then he gets back to his car. He starts seeing shadows and something running in around the car. That's when, what's his name pops? That's when the doll pops back up on the car.
Yep. Billy.
Yep. And then the next thing, he's back at the hotel. He's back at the hotel washing his face. And then he turns around or the doll has a towel over or something like that. Yeah. He's washing his face. Rereading it to get it accurately. So yeah, he's back at the hotel. He's washing his face. It cuts back to him being at the hotel. He's washing his face. He left, like he drove away from the doll. Like he didn't, he got out, the doll left. He got out and looked and drove away. He's drying his face and has a towel over it. And then he removes the towel. He's walking out the bathroom, drying his face, removes the towel, and he sees the police officer, Jim, and Jim's holding the doll. And he starts, you know, saying he's a prime suspect. He shouldn't have left town. Then saying now he's burying evidence about, you know, because he's burying this doll.
Yep.
So Janie winds up taking the doll. He heads over to Henry and Marion's house. Henry, we find out, is the mortician.
Yep. And then this is where we have the flashback scene.
Yep. And he starts talking to Henry and Marion. Marion's kind of running around the house. She's kind of crazy. She had a run-in, I guess, with Mary Shaw at one point or something. She's kind of crazy. But Henry starts giving him kind of a backstory. So he flashes back. He tells the story of Mary Shaw. She was a ventriloquist who lost her voice. She put on a show with the same doll. She put on a show with Billy. Then she gets into an argument with a kid in the audience.
Yeah.
And then back at, and it flashes back to Henry's house, and that was the, you know, he says that the child ended up missing a couple days after that.
Yeah.
They never found him.
And then after Mary died, she asked that she not only bury with her dolls, but they make her into a doll. And then we get another flashback to when Henry was a child again, and his dad was also a mortician, and he was taking care of Mary's body, and he went downstairs. He was looking in the casket, and he was standing on a stool, and the stool fell, and he pulled the casket off the table with him.
Yeah.
And she's, like, laying on the ground, you know, like, her doll face looking creepy as shit. And then, you know, lightning's flashing. They use lightning a lot in this movie to, like, light the scenes.
Yep.
There's a lot of light, but a lot of this takes place at nighttime, and it's a lot of lightning. And
in between the lightning flashes, like, Mary's doll body is standing up and walking towards the kid.
Yeah, and he starts screaming, and then his father comes in the room, and she's laying back on the ground again, where she was.
Yeah.
Yeah. My only question is, when he screamed, why didn't she kill him then? I'm guessing it was really quick. Like, so as soon as he screamed, his dad opened the door. Or did he not scream?
Well, I honestly don't remember now.
I
don't
remember.
I thought he did.
He covers his mouth. Sending him to Mary to the ground of the coroner's office, and he sees Mary's ghost, but covers his mouth so as not to scream. Then back in the present day, Henry shows him pictures of a bunch of townsfolk all murdered by having their tongues removed, and they're all like posed in these weird like
family portrait
photos, which is really weird. Let's see. After that, Jamie heads to the old rundown theater. He goes to this theater that Henry told him about in the past. And I really like the set of this theater. It's really cool. Cause the only way it was accessible was through a bridge, but after it went like down, the bridge collapsed. So there's just like this moat between the shore and this building, this big ass theater. Yeah. So he has to get on this boat and like row his ass across over to this theater, which I think that's a really cool set. Like, I actually really liked the set in that movie after that. It was really cool. But back on topic. And sorry, my voice is kind of monotone, guys. I'm not feeling that great either, to be honest.
We're both falling apart, Devin.
We are. We're perfectly in sync. We're both going to die together. So, and while he's over there, it cuts to the cop, and the cop's digging up all the graves of the dolls.
Yeah.
And they're all gone.
Yep. All of them are empty. So then I believe Jamie has a vision, or he thinks he sees a ghost in the mirror, ends up leaving. And then I don't remember where they meet up, but the cop meets up with him again, and I think they're at his dad's house for some reason, because he gets that phone call from Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Because before all that happened, even they cut back to Henry, and Henry is hearing like this crying that he assumes is the crazy lady. I think that's his wife.
Yep.
And she likes to hide in this little crawl
space. Is his wife or his sister? One of the two. But yeah. I think it's his wife.
And she likes to hide in this little crawl space because she feels safe down there. So he goes in after her, only to realize that he just got tricked by Billy. And Billy locks him in there. And then Mary shows up and he screams. And that's the end of Henry. But Jamie goes back to his dad's house for some reason. I don't remember the reason, but the cop ends up showing up there. And they get into an argument. Cause the cop, I guess the cop thinks that Jamie dug up all these graves or dug up all these dolls or is making shit up.
I think that's what happens. So you think he thinks he dug them all up.
And then Jamie gets a phone call from Henry's voice saying that he can prove that Jamie didn't kill his wife and to come to the old theater, blah, blah, blah. So he goes to leave and the cop goes to follow him. I like this is probably my favorite little joke from the cop. Because Jamie just gets in his car and fucking rips ass out of there.
Well, he pushes him out the way and then runs.
Yeah. And the cop's like, don't make me chase you. And then when he drives away, he's like, I don't have enough gas for this. Like,
he's like, I don't have a full tank of gas.
But nonetheless, they both get to the theater because the cop does accompany him on this.
Well, at separate times. So he gets there first, finds a rowboat, rows across. The cop gets there shortly after he's like, he made it to the other side, looks around for a minute, finds a boat.
Stumbles like, into it.
Kind of like stumbles and half-assed gets into this boat and then makes his way across with a shotgun. So he gets across, he gets all the way across, he starts following him in. We see Jamie go in, he's looking around, looking for the guy, then the cop comes up behind him. And then he's like, no, I'm here to meet this guy. He's like, there's nobody here. And then you hear Henry's voice. And then he's like, and he looks at him, and the cop's like, if you say I told you so, I'm going to shoot you right here.
Yeah.
And then they started becoming like, it turns into like a buddy cop adventure for a minute. Where they started kind of working together.
Yeah, and they go through like this fun house little area thing. Mm-hmm. And then they go backstage.
Yeah, they go backstage across the scaffolding. And they get to like this attic.
Yeah.
And in the attic, you know, they're looking around. They see all the dolls on the wall that are all in like this like display case on the wall. And then one's missing. I think they find that out later, but Billy's obviously missing. And then, to their right, there's a dude under, there's a sheet covering something.
Yeah.
And they go over to it and they pull the sheet and this figure slumps forward.
If this movie has taught me nothing else, it's stop removing sheets from things.
Especially if the things under the sheet are vaguely human shaped?
Yes. Just leave it be. Just leave it be, man.
Yep.
So they find out that this kid, this is the missing kid from way back in the day.
Way back when. Who we find out is his, like, great uncle.
Right. Because he was a mouthy little bastard child when he was young.
He was a mouthy little bastard child. She captured him, kept him, and killed him. Then his family, like the Asher family back in the day, did their own justice, and they all went up there and basically beat her up and cut her tongue out and killed her.
Yep.
And that's how she died. Because they couldn't prove that she took them, but they knew she did. So,
yeah.
And then everybody involved kind of paid the price.
And then the next little jump scare happens where the cop's looking down at it and the thing moves. And then it zooms out a little bit and it's because Jamie's pulling the strings because the body's a marionette puppet.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the glass cases, you have all of the dolls, one by one, their heads start to turn to the left. Which is some creepy shit. Now, a small bit of trivia here.
Mm-hmm.
At around the hour 10-minute mark.
Okay.
In the storage area scene where they have the 100 dolls or whatever, the 101 dolls.
Mm-hmm.
You can apparently see Jigsaw's doll from the Saw movie. You can see Edgar Bergen's doll, Charlie McCarthy, on one of the shelves. The doll that Detective Lipton, which is the cop's name, the doll that he throws over his shoulder in the scene is a replica of the ventriloquist Jimmy Nelson's doll, Danny O'Day. I think that's the one that he throws over his shoulder and it hits like the curtain and the whole big curtain comes down.
I think so.
So.
Cool.
Also, a little bit of trivia. Billy was not only the name of one of the dummies in this movie, one of the dolls in this movie, but also the name of the puppet used by the Jigsaw Killer in the Saw movies. I guess that puppet's name was Billy as well.
Very cool.
So now, as all the heads start turning to the left, you start hearing, what was it? I think a hum, either a humming or a whistling or something.
Something like that. No, you hear like the creaking of the
Rocking chair.
Yep.
Oh, see, I thought it was humming too, but then this is like a creepy like clown puppet.
Yep.
And it starts talking to them. And, you know, Jamie's saying, oh, why'd you kill my wife? This, that, and the other thing. And then the puppet's like, well, come closer and I'll tell you. You know, I'll whisper it to you. First off, don't trust puppets. That's dumb. I love
the cop. He's just like, no. He's like, let's just go. Like, he's like, let's just get out of here.
Yeah. But no, Jamie like, wanted to know. So he got close enough to further whisper. That's when we find out that this, you know, all these puppets are pretty much against this Ashen family. And then the puppet licks him and he stumbles back and this set of hands grabs the puppet's head and lifts it up. And we see Mary Shaw's tongue going through the back of the puppet and out the front of the puppet. It was ridiculously long. And that's when the cop's like, nope, had enough, and just shoots the ghost and the puppet. And then they see the ghost starting to come out of these other puppets. So the cop just starts unloading into these glass cases and eventually hits something that causes like a small explosion and it causes a bunch of them to go up in fire and burn. What happened after that?
No, they start running.
Yeah.
They start booking ass because she's coming. Like, you know, they start booking ass.
At one point, I think the cop gets tossed into the air. And while he's in the air, he starts screaming.
No. So they run across the scaffolding and either it just happened to fall apart right there or like her ghost powers took it apart. But the scaffolding comes loose and tilts to the side and he flips over. And he starts, as he's falling to what is presumed to be his death, he yells out.
And then the ghost, like, football tackles him.
She football tackles him into the wall. And then, like, we just see a picture of him, like, fall on the ground, like, with his mouth all open, missing his tongue.
Yeah.
And then our main character falls shortly after, but he covers his mouth so he doesn't scream. And he crashes into, like on the floor, but underneath it is like water. It's like a weak floor. There's no support under the floor, and it crashes through and like in this watery pit. I'm guessing it's another level that part of it like sunk.
Yeah,
or whatever. But he's like underneath this.
Yeah, because like it looked like a room, but it was just kind of filled with water.
Yeah, so that happened, which was cool. And then he starts swimming around, and then you see all these like floating mannequins and puppets, and I'm like, that's like the worst place you'd ever want to be.
Yep.
And he's like trying to get out, and then like there's like this one like white mannequin with his arms outstretched. He like comes up in between that and freaks out because he thinks it's her. And then he kind of swims and makes it out, and he's outside. And then when he gets outside, he looks back, he sees that the theater's on fire. He's kind of having a feeling like, I did it. And then he starts thinking, he's like, no, Billy wasn't there. Billy's missing.
Yeah.
And then he drives. That's when he drives to Henry's house, finds out Henry's actually dead. And then he asks, where's the puppet? And then the wife's like, she's kind of like hysterical. And she's like, Asher took it, you know, and he's like, my dad's in a wheelchair. My dad can't take that. And then she says it again. And she's like, Mrs. Asher. And then it cuts, and he's like, oh, shit. And then he kind of runs to his house, and then he goes in his house, a lot dark and shit in his house. He has kind of the puppet showdown of a lifetime in his house. And then after all that's said and done, he sees his dad sitting in the chair. He goes over to his dad. He's like, hey, dad, you okay? You good? And he touches his dad. His dad kind of slumps over, and we see his dad's missing his spine, and there's just like a wooden stick stuck in his spine. And his dad has been a puppet this whole time, controlled by the wife, who's either like a reincarnated or she's possessed by
Mary.
Mary.
Yeah.
And then he turns around and he starts having like this realization of everything that happened up to that point. And he's kind of like, you see the scream slowly coming. Like you can almost see the scream like crawling up his throat as he's having this like realization of like what's going on. And she's just kind of looking at him. And I think she calls him a dummy. And then he yells.
I think doesn't she repeat the line that Shaw repeated to the kid at the theater, like who's the dummy or something like that.
Yep. Who's the dummy now? And then he screams, and she takes his tongue and kills him. And then it cuts to like in the credits, and it cuts to like all these portraits on the wall, and we see like a dummy version of the Jamie. Like presumably she killed him and turned him into a dummy.
Yep.
We see like a dummy version of Jamie and like a dummy version of the father. They're all like a family portrait, and yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, all in all, kind of creepy movie, especially if you don't like dolls
which I'm not a fan of dolls, but I actually enjoyed this movie. Dummies. So,
another little fun fact, Donnie Wahlberg's character, Detective Lipton, has the same last name as his character in the HBO miniseries Band of Brothers.
Dope.
Boom. Now, I will say, due to the film's box office failure, the tentative plans for a sequel were abandoned. Because this movie, let's see.
The budget on this movie was
$20 million. $20 million. Yeah, and it made worldwide. It made $22 million.
Yeah.
So I mean,
but to be fair, horror movies don't usually perform well anyway.
True. So. Yeah, I mean, hey, for a 92-minute movie, you know, it was.
It didn't feel like 92 minutes. In a good way.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't sitting there like Life After Beth felt like an 8-hour movie.
It really did. but I mean, the cinematography was good. You know, the movie was well done. It's a relatively newer movie. It's 2007, I think.
2007, I think, was right in that era of what I would consider the great period of movies we got in between, like, what I would call old school horror and like modern horror,
right?
And it was perfect like that, like, and I think it fits in there. Like, obviously looking back on this movie clearly now, I think it's a much better movie than it probably deserves, and I think if it had a bigger cast it would have been better.
Like, I'm not even saying better
in a good sense, it would have performed better. Like if the cop was played by Mark Wahlberg, you know, which, let me see, Mark Wahlberg, what was he doing in 07? How big was he in 07? I'm trying to figure out. Let's go to Mark Wahlberg's filmography. Bam. 07. Oh, yeah, he was in Shooter. Yeah. He was in Shooter that year. He was in The Departed the year before. He was in The Departed. Yeah. He was in Four Brothers. Yeah. He definitely had. He was in Italian Job. Yeah. He had a good. He had a solid resume. So, like, if Mark Wahlberg was in the role of a cop, I mean, I love Donnie, don't get me wrong. And then, like, for the main guy, because this was pre-True Blood, I think. So, like, he didn't even have that going for him. For the main guy, they had, you know, trying to think who else could have been in that role. That would have worked really well.
In 07?
In 07. I'm trying to think in 07. Like, who had been a solid pick for that role in 07?
Fucking, the guy from Fast and the Furious?
Paul Walker? Paul Walker could have worked in that movie. But see, Fast and Furious made Paul Walker big. I'm trying to think when Fast and Furious first come out. Fast and Furious came out. I think
before 05? 07.
I think came out 05. Who was it? Fast and Furious. No, actually, I lied. 2001 for sure. But yeah, that would have worked totally fine. Did a Fast and Furious movie come out in 07 is the question. No, actually, he was off because there was Tokyo Drift and then Fast and Furious came out in 2009. So assuming they were just starting to film Fast and Furious, or rather, Paul Walker would have worked fine, or my other pick would probably have been Viggo Mortensen, Viggo Mortensen. I would have picked him for it.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have been a little older. They would have had to like edit a little bit. He would have been a little bit older, but it's fine. But I think him and Mark would have been a solid pick. I mean, I'm trying to think, is there age difference like IRL? I don't think it's that big.
Who would you have picked for the wife?
Okay, it's a little bit bigger. It's a little bit bigger. It's 12 years age difference. Flip the roles around. Viggo's the cop, Mark's the guy. There you go.
Who would you have picked to play the wife at the beginning?
Oh, I mean, I think she was kind of inconsequential. Like, I don't really think she needed to be recast. She was kind of an inconsequential kill.
Fair.
I'm just saying. But, I could be wrong on that.
So, overall, how would you rate this movie? 1 through 10.
On a scale of A to the square root of pi, I give it a solid burrito.
All right.
Seriously, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'll give it 7.5. I think it's good.
Yeah, I mean, that's close to where I was gonna give it probably about a 6. Like, IMDb, for a horror movie, I was expecting it to be a lot scarier to me.
Well, I mean, horror movies aren't like, there are a lot of horror movies that are, see, this is the thing. There are a lot of horror movies that are super, super scary out there. But you're never really gonna find a super scary slasher movie. Right. Like ghosts and slasher movies are rarely scary.
Right.
But like, you get a movie like The Exorcist, or Hereditary, or hell, even Last House on the Left. You get those kind of movies where they're gonna even The Shining. Like, those movies will stick with you.
Right.
Like, The Shining is no longer scary because it's a cult movie.
Still not one that I've seen yet.
Really?
Yeah, I have not seen it.
I should have made that my movie then.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
I need to rewatch that movie because the sequel's coming out.
Okay, we did toy with the idea of both of us getting on a call and watching this movie together.
Let's watch The Shining.
Shits and Giggles, let's watch The Shining together.
Let's do that.
Because then you'll be able to see me react to all these parts.
The Shining is a great movie. Like, it's a solid movie. It's fucking Jack Nicholson at his finest. Not including his Joker role.
So yeah, I gave this movie probably about a 6. I would recommend it to other people. If they're interested in horror movies.
Oh, for sure. For sure, for sure. I think I would say this. This is one of those movies that if you looked at the reviews of this movie, or you looked at like the box office performance, and you looked at like, oh, this is gonna be a terrible movie. But I think you watching this movie, you will be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I agree. So moving on from that, Devin.
Yep.
Let me get my pen out here real quick. What is
our final movie?
Our final movie next week.
Castle Freak.
Castle Freak?
Yep.
Castle Freak. I think that was, what, one of Ross's picks?
I believe so. It's from 1995.
Ugh. All right.
Okay. I love the reading. I mean, it has a 63% on Rotten Tomatoes, so who knows? But an American family that has suffered tragedy inherits an Italian castle complete with bloodthirsty monster.
Okay.
You know, just inherit this castle as you do.
I'm going to try to find something real quick here. There we go. Okay. So, because of something that I listened to just the other day on Discord, coming up on some of the noise alerts for some of our, for our like Halloween stream, and I'm sure they'll carry over to our Christmas streams. Because there's different noise alerts where if somebody donates bits or makes a donation, a noise alert will pop up that you can hear, or if people raid us or host us, etc., etc. Now, I had thought about this, and I re-listened to it, and I forgot all about this, Devin. So I think we need to change the name of the segment from A Moment of Zen with Devin to Life Coaching with Devin. Because this clip that I heard was, I believe you guys were playing PUBG.
Oh, and my preaching
you,
to John?
You started preaching about the low, low price of whatever you too can get Life Coaching with Devin. In fact, I'm going to play the link and hopefully it picks up through the recording. It's only 4 seconds long, but here is the clip that made me want to change this name.
Yes, for only $13.95. You too. You too can get Life Coaching by Devin.
For $13.95, you too. You too can get Life Coaching by Devin.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, is there any other questions or comments that you had about this particular movie that we watched?
No, I will say this.
How much scarier would this movie have been for you if you replaced all of Ventriloquist dummies with porcelain dolls? Would that have added to the sheer uncomfortableness for you?
I think I find Ventriloquist dummies more off-putting.
Really? Okay. See, I thought
like, I'm not a fan of porcelain. No, no, it's not. See, it originally wasn't even porcelain dolls. It was like, it was those wooden dolls, but not like
marionette puppets.
But the ones with faces.
Yeah. All right.
Like those, like it was like, oh, let me see if I can find it real quick here.
So yeah, like ventriloquist dummies where like the eyes and the mouth move.
No.
Oh.
Like stupid. Like kind of like that. But again, this is, you don't have to watch it now, but this was the scene that as a kid created me.
Are you posting, obviously now, are you posting an SU yet?
Yep. From Tales from the Hood, if anyone's curious.
Tales from the Hood.
They made it part two, and I don't know why. Who asked for that? Nobody needed to watch Tales from the Hood 2.
But did anyone need to watch Tales from the Hood 1?
I mean, Tales from the Hood 1 was kind of funny, but no one needs to watch Tales from the Hood 2.
What I don't get is that guy just opened up the door because I'm sure he heard a knock or something. I have it muted. But he opened up the door and he was standing in the doorway. And that's the exact moment that that doll had an opportunity to just walk on by him. Oh, those dolls.
Yeah, those things.
Like the old nutcracker style kind of dolls, I guess.
Yep.
Devin, that doll looks like you if you were angry.
Maybe that's why it terrifies me. Honestly, I think it's just the animation that they added to this later. Let me see if I can find it. The animation they added to the dolls. Oh, they cut it up. Here, I'll post the. Here you go. It was like the creepy animation they added to it that made it like unsettling. Like,
oh, yeah. Like,
19.
Like,
70s animation. Like, 1990s stop animation. Motion. Yeah.
Oh, those dolls, man. They're eating his face.
They are. Dolls out here eating people's face. Oh, yeah. I forgot. Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror. That was the thing.
All right. Well, I mean, hey, that was That's our episode slash review of Dead Silence. And
we need a life coaching
moment. We need a life coaching moment with Devin. And also, if you guys watched the movie, because I know some of the listeners, they like to watch the movies before they listen to our reviews, which is always a good thing. Write us a review on our Facebook page on Simply Unprofessional at Facebook.com or however Facebook link works. You can just search for Simply Unprofessional and tell us what you thought of the movie. I cannot find a goddamn comfortable position to sit. Everything hurts, Devin. So yeah, now we just have our life coaching moment with Devin.
Alright, life coaching moment with me.
For the low price of $13.95, folks.
Actually, the low price of free, because times are hard out here. And oh. I think people need this advice more.
Time is a construct.
Time is a construct. And from the wise words of one Mr. Earl Nightingale, I'm going to say this. Our attitude towards life determines life's attitude towards us. So there you go.
Well,
do with that what you will.
I think life started this fight. I'm just saying. Because it's constantly kicking me in the balls, and I'm constantly thinking about kicking it in the balls, but failing. But see,
you're just perpetuating the cycle.
I know. But it started it, and I'm stubborn.
I mean, okay, that's fine.
So, all right, Devin, where can people out there find you and contact you if they want to come and get more life coaching or talk to you about movies and such?
You guys can find me on Twitter at DMP_Pookie. You can find me on Twitch at Pook Killed Me. And as always, you can find me on eBay selling ventriloquist dummies for the low price of $13.99.
As always, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Jax Forestwalker, all one word, and Twitch at DM Webby, and on Instagram at Patrick.Webster52, where I just post random funny pictures. And on eBay at not buying Devin's creepy ass ventriloquist dummies.
How dare you?
I'm sorry, they're creepy as fuck. And as always, right? Everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. We love you. Fuck Booster Gold.
Fuck Booster Gold and Dane Cook.
Oh, yeah, and Dane Cook. Almost forgot it. Adding just to like our the list world should. Of people.
Almost forgot him, just like the world should.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, at me, Dane Cook. At me.
Yeah. Send him a Twitter thing. A tweet. That's what they're
doing. I just need to go on Twitter and just tweet, like, Dane Cook ain't shit.
Your rugs ain't shit, Dane Cook.